Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. We have a few visitors with us. We're very glad to have you worship with us. We consider you our honored guest today. I want to remind everybody the area-wide singing is today right here at South Valley starting at 2. They'll run from 2 to 3:30. Most of the congregations of the valley meet together on the first Sunday of the month and rotate around, and it's our turn. So I just want to remind everybody and welcome everybody back. We are going to look today. We're going to start a study. It'll take us 2 weeks on the book of Nehemiah. It's not intended to be an in-depth verse-by-verse study, but more of an overview of the book of Nehemiah. It's believed to have been written right around 445 B.C., long time ago. It was even before Dick was a little boy. Long time ago, and the setting of it takes place after the Jews had returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. And Nehemiah himself was appointed governor of Judea by King Artaxerxes, the Persian king. And Nehemiah had been served on his court, was a cupbearer and a constant surrounded Artaxerxes, every day. And after Nehemiah requested, Artaxerxes granted that he could go and rebuild the city of Jerusalem, repopulate it, and strengthen it because it had fallen into great disrepair. Today we're going to look in the first part of the book mostly of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the unity of the people in doing this. And as with any good work that God's people are doing, there's always distractions. There's always distractions that people or just life gets in the way. And we're going to see how not only Nehemiah, but the people themselves deal with these distractions. I'm going to just be looking at a few selected verses. Like I said, we're not going to go verse by verse. We're going to look at this issue today, and then next week we'll look at the later part of the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 1, it kind of sets the stage. In verses 1 through 4, it says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire." Before I go any farther, this was heartbreaking for the Jews who had been taken away and now were getting to come back, that the things that meant so much to them, Jerusalem, it lay in ruin. It goes on to say in verse 4, "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." This shows the priority, the importance that this had to Nehemiah. And it distressed him. It bothered him that the city of the Jews was just laid waste. We see in chapter 2 that he asks to go rebuild the walls. Starting in verse 1, "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart.' So I became dreadfully afraid, and said to the king, 'May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad, when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.'" I find it interesting that Nehemiah had such an influence by the way he conducted himself. That Artaxerxes was not Jewish, could care less. But Nehemiah had an influence on him, and he had a good relationship. Nehemiah served under Artaxerxes, but he did it in a way that he gained respect and honor from the king. And so the king is granting that he may go rebuild Jerusalem. In chapter 2, a few verses later, this is the verse that Van read earlier. "Then I said to them, 'You see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to do this good work." They wanted to be part of it. The people, they were united in doing God's work. And even though they were doing the work, they were giving the credit to God. And when it's said and done, it's not going to be, "Look what we did." It was God. God got the glory and the credit. In chapter 5, or chapter 3, verse 5, not everybody had that attitude. It says, next to them, it had been talking about the different order of the families who were doing the work. And it says, next to them, the Tekoites, I think that's how you say it, made repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. You're always going to have people like that. Could you imagine that if the other people said, "Well, if they're not working, I'm not going to work either." And because nothing would have gotten done. There's always going to be people like this, that we've got a problem. The walls of Jerusalem are torn down. What are you going to do about it? Expecting everybody else to do the work. But the people continued to work in spite of this. In chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "So we built the wall and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work. That last phrase there, for the people had a mind to work. Nothing is impossible with God and with people that have a mind to work, whatever it is. I look at some of the things that we take on here at South Valley. We have a mind to work. We never do, look what we did. It's always God, we're doing it for God. But an important verse, the success came because Nehemiah could have wanted to rebuild the walls. He's not going to be able to do it himself. But the people had a mind to work. Then it goes on, we see that because God's work was being done, there's always going to be some around that are going to be trying to stop that work. And it says in verse 7, the very next verse, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. They did not like that the Jewish people were getting something done against them. Goes on to say, and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. The Jews who were working, they prayed to God. That was their first effort, was to go to God in prayer. And then they armed themselves and set a guard to prevent the people from coming and stopping that work. Verse 18, every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the trumpet was beside me. They were working, but they were also ready to go to battle if the enemies ever came to try to stop them from that work. In chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times and I answered them in the same manner. Sanballat, Tobiah, and the rest of the group, they're wanting to do anything they can to be a distraction, to stop this work that's going on. If we can just get their leader up, apart from them, maybe we can stop it. Nehemiah doesn't even go down to them. They're come down, talk to us. No, I'm doing something good. I'm not going to take time away from God's work to even come down and talk to you. Nothing was distracting Nehemiah from this great work that he was doing. And in chapter 6, it says, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work had been done by our God. That's the effects Christians can have. That's the effects that when we're doing the work of God, other people don't like it. But sometimes there's no denying the power of God, and they see that. And we can be an influence, and even the people around us that maybe have no interest in God or what we're doing, they can be influenced, and God can be given the glory and the credit. Nehemiah. So far we've seen that Nehemiah was a dedicated man of God. I love looking. I will never be called upon to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But it doesn't mean that I can't learn from this great man, Nehemiah, that he was dedicated in his service, and I can be in my service, whatever that is. And he took great honor, and he gave the glory to God, and he refused to be distracted. We are distracted and bombarded all around us with the cares of life, with work, with negative people, with people that want to see the work of God slow down or even stopped. We are even bombarded with people that would love for Christianity to cease. I don't want to be sound like a Chicken Little or anything, but there are people. We're in a war right now. We are in a war, and like in this first part of Nehemiah, we need to do the work of God with our swords hanging on our bodies, ready to battle with the enemy. The enemy is Satan. It may not be a physical, like in Ephesians, it may not be a physical battle, but a spiritual one. And we can't be distracted from people that are wanting us to neglect the work of God, to be distracted from it, and to stop altogether. This is next week we will continue the further part, which focuses mostly on the glorifying of the Word of God, bringing the Word of God back to the people. They had been separated from the Word of God during their captivity, and how they rejoice in that. We never like to leave an assembly, a worship service, without offering an invitation. Sometimes people have been studying, and they come to the realization that they need to be baptized. Without being buried in baptism, we are not saved. That's where we come into contact with the blood of Christ, who died for our sins. Some of us may have been baptized, but may be struggling, falling away from that path. And we need to get back on that path. There may be distractions in our lives affecting us. If you need to repent, this is a good time to repent. Not tomorrow. Dick's sermon tonight is I'll do it tomorrow. Don't repent tomorrow. I want to encourage you all to come back tonight for Dick's sermon. It sounds interesting. Don't wait till tomorrow to repent. Don't wait till tomorrow to be baptized, to be saved. If you need prayers of the congregation, whatever we can do for you, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.